The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I mean, I know you are a poo-pooer of the coronavirus. You don't believe in it.
It's not that I don't believe in it. I just don't believe in widespread panic. But we've got widespread panic now, so it's just like anything else. You have to embrace it.
I mean, okay, so think about the money that Houston's losing by not having the rodeo. Think about the money that Houston's going to lose by not having the Sweet 16 and what Atlanta's going to lose by not having the Final Four. Like, the amount of money that people are essentially leaving on the table, to me, says they've done enough research that there's something to this.
What are the odds that opening day's canceled?
I think we're heading that way, aren't we?
Seems that way. I mean, it seems better than 50-50 now.
I guess the whole thing with the no fans in the stadium thing, you could probably make that work for the tournament because it's such a TV thing. For a baseball season, is that something you really want to try with that many games? Don't you just say, you know what, we'll start when this thing's over.
That would be
cut this much out of the year.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Our number 3-713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like, send a message. You're good to go. There's Twitter.
I think I'm going to capitalize on this.
Yeah.
Let's change my nickname to the Corona Kid.
The Corona Kid? I like it. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, a.k.a. the Corona Kid.
Freddy the Virus Barnes.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. The Virus. I like that nickname.
Whoever runs Fred's Wikipedia, Freddy the Virus Fowler.
Oh, yeah, because that...
The Virus along with the Beetle need to be added to it.
That's somebody else's the Beetle. It's just that you guys have gone that direction. If you can text the show if you so desire. You can also watch us on Twitch and comment there. And we are going to have Matt from Copperhead Brewery next segment. We had Kobo's Q earlier. This is, you know what? The world may be ending, but if it's going to end, it's going to end with barbecue and beer.
That's a good day.
And not going to complain at all.
And a police chase.
Oh, yeah, we had a police chase. Yeah. It's actually been an awesome day.
Yeah.
So, man, if we could get a police chase once a week. I'm not telling anyone to do this unless you've already got warrants and you're going to go to prison.
Right.
But go on a police chase and call in live. You can put it on speakerphone. That's the one time we would allow speakerphone. And we would do commentary while interviewing you during your police chase.
Yeah.
How about that? Good. That would be fun, right? We'd all be down with that. But don't go and do it unless you're already going to prison for something and it's not going to make a difference. Like, you're going to go for, 10 years regardless. But that would be kind of fun.
Some people have been asking me about Texas and Texas Tech, who play tomorrow in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament. And I'm of the... There's some people who think it's a play-in game. I think if Texas Tech wins, they're definitely in the tournament.
Right.
If Texas loses, they're definitely out of the tournament. If Texas wins, I think they might have to either do more, which would probably mean beat Kansas, or they would need some other teams to fall out for them to have a chance. If Texas Tech loses, boy, it's going to be tough. So I wouldn't say it's a win in your end game because I don't think it is for Texas.
Right.
But I do think it's a win in your end game for Texas Tech. And then there was some people arguing that Texas Tech's not on the bubble. And I assure you, Texas Tech's on the bubble. And that might be unpopular opinion, but that's just facts. They are on the bubble. They don't have a grand resume. They've got two good data points on their resume. They beat Louisville in a neutral back in December. And then they won a home game against West Virginia, which isn't as impressive as it was once thought to be. But their list of Big 12 wins are Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Iowa State, the aforementioned West Virginia, Oklahoma, Texas, TCU, Kansas State, Iowa State. That means no Baylor, no Kansas, no teams that are considered big wins.
Right.
They just don't have them. So they're firmly on the bubble right now. They can get off it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that both those teams are in that position, especially since Tech was in the championship game last yep. year. And, you know, Texas has gotten itself to this point. I mean, they were left for dead here a month ago.
And Texas Tech lost their last four games of the season, which didn't do them any favors either. Mind you, their last four were Oklahoma, Texas, Baylor, Kansas. So it's not like there was bad teams they were losing to. But I'll give you another example of a team that was kind of on the brink back at the end of January. Virginia didn't have a resume that said they were right. The defending national champions. They looked like they were 12-6, and they had just lost to North Carolina State, and it looked like they were in real trouble of missing the tournament. And then they turned it on, and they won 11 of their last 12 games, and now they're safely in. And really a team that nobody wants to play.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they two of their last three games they beat Duke and Louisville, so they're the real deal.
By the way, your Rockets are back on track after beating the mighty yes. Timberwolves.
Come all the way back, you know, T Wolves.
The wife was at that game with a bunch of her coworkers. It's possible she's seen the last.
Sounds corona-y.
I know. If I go home and get coronavirus from her, she's. Well, I mean, I don't get close enough to her to get coronavirus, so we're fine.
You need physical contact.
Yeah, exactly. The only way I could get it is if the dog licks her and then licks me.
Oh, that would be unfortunate.
Pretty gross. The Sharks have all three of their final home games in San Jose will be played with no fans. Which the Sharks kind of suck this year anyway, so it's not going to make a difference. And Chicago has canceled the St. Patrick's Day Parade. You will not be able to do a remake of... Ferris Bueller.
Oh, no.
Because there's no parade there. There's no Donkashane. As far as I know, the one in Houston is still scheduled. But I don't know. Somebody can let me know if that's changed. Because I know there's one that's supposed to be down in our part of town.
If they're canceling the rodeo and not a stupid parade, I got a problem with that.
Well, I mean, it's the up to the individuals, I guess, until the city tells us, hey, we got to stop doing this stuff, which I don't know if I'm, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't trust government, so we shall see. And somebody said the old Nick Cage movie, Con Air, had a villain named Cyrus the Virus. That's one of my, I love that movie. I can watch it anytime it's on. I can never listen to Sweet Home Alabama the same after that movie, because all I think about is a bunch of celebrating convicts after they've escaped. But, 713 says, I would call in, but I can see y'all critiquing me the whole chase. Well, yeah, that's what we do. That's our jobs.
But we're not critiquing. We're more advising.
Yeah, we'll be telling you, hey, you know, there's more cops up here to the left. Maybe you want to turn right. So,
I'm trying to help y'all out.
Somebody said A&M must be really regretting those three bad losses at the start of the season. I don't know that they, I mean, I don't know. Can they? I mean, they'd have to win the tournament, right?
They would have to win the tournament, yeah. But they are regretting their early season performance. And, you know, the Temple loss, the Fairfield loss, the Texas loss that wasn't close. Harvard's not necessarily – and Texas isn't a horrible loss. Harvard's not a bad loss. Gonzaga's not a – I mean, that's actually losing by 30 at home to Gonzaga isn't a good look.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they'll regret that. I really think the more regrettable games for them are against they played some bad teams in the middle of SEC play. They lost to South Carolina at home. They lost to Oklahoma State at home. They got blown out at Georgia. Like if you take those games and swing them, and they lost at South Carolina too, so they got swept by a South Carolina team that's not very good. The Oklahoma State and the Georgia games, if you flip those, you'd be looking at a team that's got a pretty good resume for it, because they've got some decent wins. The Auburn win is good. Mississippi State win is good. The Arkansas at home is good. They've got some solid wins on that thing. It just some really ugly losses too.
Yeah, the thing is, if you're an Aggie fan, you got to be really encouraged.
They're going in the right direction.
Yeah, they've had a really good stretch here to end the season. They got better as the season went on, and I know you're a big Buzz Williams guy. It's hard not to be. I mean, the guy's a fantastic coach. So maybe worth a bet to win the NIT, depending on. I'm guessing they've got a good shot at.
Assuming the NIT happens.
Well, that's true. God, none of this may happen. Supposed to go to New York City in 6 weeks. If I go, it may become a real life escape from New York. Oh. NASA nerd said, you guys know you'd help the car chase driver, then you'd be busted for aiding and abetting. Well, I don't know if we'd help. We'd just comment.
All I would just say is that's what I would do in his shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
Andy and Port Arthur wants to know how a hockey player is knowing to take a shot without fans. Yeah. Oh, boy. If they listen to him every time, there'd be like 400 shots a game. All right. We're going to take a very quick break. We come back. We're going to have beer in the house. Matt from Copperhead Brewery is going to be here. And they've got some really good barrel-aged stuff, which guess who likes barrel-aged stuff? All of us. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And if you're on the Twitch channel, you get to see lots of beer.
You can't taste the Twitch channel. I mean, that helped.
No, but if you're on it, you can actually see it, is what I was saying.
Or yeah, less fun.
Yeah, we're actually getting to taste it. So Matt and Brad from Copperhead Brewery here, and they have brought some fantastic
sort of beer. Here.
Yeah, sort of here, but not really.
It's Conroe. It's outside your neck of the woods.
I know, but I get that direction every now and then.
I get up to the brewery every once in a while. I enjoy it. They've got a corgi up there. That always makes me feel good. Or a little dog running around.
Are you going to run the corgi at the racetrack Saturday?
No. Hmm. No, mine doesn't. It's like it's got coronavirus fear. It doesn't like people. But it's a really nice. It's a nice little tasting room. They've got an outdoor area. It's a good spot. It's a nice spot to drink at. So if you're ever up that way, it's definitely worth the trip. And obviously quality brews. I'm a big fan of the stouts.
Yeah, thanks very much. And last year I ran into you at the King of Terrors release as well. So
yeah, it's always a fun event. It's there's a lot of drunk people, but it's always a fun event.
I actually met Matt at the Secret Group when Barry was doing his show there. They were doing the brews and comedy thing, and we had some fantastic barrel aged beers, and so talked about bringing some in. And you guys have a big event coming up on Friday, as a matter of fact.
Yes, sir. The big event is last April, we went to Buffalo Trace Distillery and got to do a barrel pick between like four or five barrels and picked one, bought the juice, shipped it back to Conroe, shipped the empty barrel back to Conroe, and then we put our Black Venom, our Imperial Stout Black Venom, inside of that for about 6 months to age, and it's getting ready for this Friday. And the special thing about it is we don't know anybody who's done it before. It's truly a brewery single pick all the way around. And it's ticket only because we have limited bottles available. And so once they're gone, they're gone. And so with the price of the ticket, you're going to come with a glass, obviously, for the event. You're going to get a 500 milliliter bottle to go. And you're going to get a nice door prize once you physically leave the brewery. So you'll have to read between the lines on that one.
Yeah, something that they can't hand you inside the brewery because we live in Texas.
Yeah. Exactly.
But they can hand you and give away, technically. They can't sell it, right? You guys can't sell it.
Correct.
But you can give it away to people.
Yes, sir.
As they leave the brewery, and you get to take that home with you. So I'm sure people can probably figure that out. So how long has it been sitting in the barrels?
Between 6 and 8 months.
The only other time I can think of something like this being done, and I don't remember what brewery he did it with, but I know Chris Hart, the guy that does the whiskey show, did he had a barrel and he put the Nice Guy Eddie in it. And I want to say it was, is it Southern Star maybe who made that beer? I don't know, but somebody made the beer for him and he put it in his selected barrel. And then they sold that beer, as it was called Nice Guy Eddie. So, I mean, I don't know. It's definitely a rare thing for a brewery to go out and select a barrel and then release a beer. But that beer was outstanding. And I would imagine this is probably going to be better than your average typical old barrel-aged beer.
Oh, for sure. Everybody's really excited so far. We've got 150 tickets. There's a few left. So if you're interested, go on eventbrite.com, type in Copperhead, or check out our Facebook page. But it's interesting. I'm going to go back to Chris Hart because we're actually doing something down the road with him. There was a Houston Bourbon Society.
Mm-hmm.
They did a single barrel Jack Daniels pick.
Okay.
We got that barrel.
Oh, okay.
And nice. We're going to be doing a barrel-aged peanut butter stout in that Jack Daniels barrel.
See, there you go. Chris, he's on to this thing because he liked doing it. He liked it when that Nice Guy Eddie came out. Yeah, I'm sure Chris will be great to work with. He's a good dude, very good dude, and very, very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Well, talk about what we're drinking now.
Okay, so we got the Four Rose King of Terrors. King of Terrors that we released last year. It's my last bottle. It was a special occasion, so I wanted to come share it with you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, to me, it's the best beer that we've ever made.
Really?
In my humble opinion.
Okay.
So I wanted to break out the good stuff.
It is amazing. I love that beer. I got to tell you, I hadn't had it before. It's fantastic.
And what's going on with Brad here? Why is he so quiet?
He's a part of the shadow staff.
Oh, okay.
All right. He's here for the moral support.
Okay.
Conroe's kind of far, and they're taking care of stuff for Friday, so they unfortunately couldn't come down.
Okay. And so they just sent him.
Mm-hmm.
Live around the corner.
It was an easy trip for you. Okay.
Yeah, but so the brewery itself, it's really... really family, truly family owned and run. Mark Ernest, Seth Ernest, and Alicia Ernest, a father, son, and daughter in law combination there. They do everything: kegging, keg cleaning, brewing, running the tap room, running the numbers, everything. So, top to bottom, they're doing it.
That's pretty cool.
How long you guys been there now?
We'll be 5 years this year.
Wow.
Which is interesting because Houston really loves us, and they're starting to get to know our stouts a lot better, as well as our core beers that are in major most package stores. And if I do an event around Conroe or the north side, I get questioned, oh, where are you guys? And when I tell them Conroe, they're just kind of blown away.
What? So, because they feel like it's too far or what?
No, they just haven't. They're just not totally aware. Which I'm thrilled that you guys brought us on here that we could share the platform for the
people
brewery.
People should know about it. Yeah. So we talked about this earlier this week. So I'm curious what you guys think on this. I think there was three new breweries opened up in the last month here in the city of Houston. So like I think that the greater Houston area is up. I think it's upwards of 40 breweries or something like that now. There's a lot. What in you guys' mind, A, what do you think the bubble is? Like how many can Houston sustain? And B, I think in a way it's good because it's going to push everybody to make better beer. Because if you're not making good beer when there's that many options, you're not going to last. So even the guys who are making good beer now are going to be making better beer. And the guys that are making crappy beer better start making good beer. Do you guys feel the same way about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's what sets us apart. And honestly, our kind of, magic weapon is Seth, our brewer. He just has amazing talent for just perfection, for example, Alicia, his wife, her family lives in Belgium. So for our Belgian quad, we actually bring in Belgian candy sugar. So, all the ingredients are natural. We only select the best. So, the quality is definitely there and his creativity just shines all the time. And we'll get to that, I think.
And that Medusa beer itself, actually, when Seth met Alicia, she challenged him to make a better beer than the Belgians. So,
and actually, I grew up in Belgium and had a buddy of mine come over and visit with the brewery a couple months ago or late last year, and he actually took some of our Belgian quad back to Belgium and did a blind taste test, and people just thought it was a Belgian beer.
That's nice.
He said Conroe, Texas, and they looked at him like he's out of his mind.
You grew up in Belgium?
Yeah.
From when to when? Like what ages?
France and Belgium. So I started out in London when I was, in second grade, first grade, and then basically through high school.
Yeah. When we went over to London for the Texans game this year, I ended up doing Belgium for a day. And in one day, I had more great beer than I had for the entire rest of my Europe trip, because beer in England sucks. And beer in Belgium was just out of this world. So that was a really cool thing. What do you guys, what's next for you guys? Are you guys, obviously you've done like now a mint chocolate stout. You've done the coconut stout. You guys keep experimenting. You're going to do a peanut butter. What else do you guys have in the idea bank?
Okay. Well, in April, we're going to do a peach sour called Pish.
Okay.
We're going to follow that up in May.
How much sour have you guys done so far?
Really not too much. I think this might be technically our second one.
Okay.
In the brewery's history.
Is it difficult to work with the sour stuff because you worry about contamination, things like that, with your other beer?
No, that's really a Seth question, but I'm pretty sure it's you know, not with the kettles. Like, you know, when you're doing wild fermentation, that's a different ballgame.
Okay. So it's not as big of a deal. Well, guys, tell people where they can go to get tickets for the event. Tell people when the event is again, and yeah, give them the deets.
And you got one more thing that you need to tell the people about as well.
That's right. So after the Pesh, we've got the Barrel Aged King of Terrors. We're doing that in Willet barrels, an apple brandy barrel, and another mint chocolate version.
Okay.
Just like last year, it sold out super quick. We're doing more, so hop on. There'll be some left. I think it sold out technically in the pre-sale, but there might be some left. You never know. Be nice. Come ask. Say hello. So, but down in April, you may have heard the rumors, but we're here to confirm it's true. We're going to be hopping into the hard seltzer game.
Okay.
Yes, sir. 5%, 100 calories, one carb, gluten-free. It's going to be Houston's first premium craft seltzer.
Okay.
So, I don't know any other breweries. We don't know any other breweries that have done it, so we're embracing it. You know, we're jumping in.
It's brewed. It's actually brewed. It's brewed like a beer, fermented, no sugar added, all natural flavors and ingredients. And I personally went out and bought pretty much every major brand of seltzer, and it just doesn't have that kind of weird aftertaste that you get with most of the big brands right now. So we're really excited. We're just waiting on the packaging to get here, and this is probably our first marketing effort, but you'll see a lot more. And really hoping to take Houston by storm there and go local.
Yeah, looking forward to trying it because I know for me, because I have a wife who doesn't really drink beer, and if there is an alternative option for her at the brewery, it makes my life so much easier because it's not, can we leave yet? Can we leave yet? So if there's something like that for the ladies to drink, or dudes, I'm not here to judge, but if there are alternatives to just beer, It makes it so much easier for dudes like me who have a wife who's not into it.
I got to tell you, at our King of Terrors event earlier this year, it was not just the wives. It was the husbands, too. Like, they need to take a break from the bigger beer, right?
That's true.
And they were just, we were kind of beta testing our Blackberry seltzer. And it was, everyone had one. I mean, it was just unreal. So we're really looking forward to it, and we really think it's going to, make a big splash, if you will, in the market. So
a lot of people thought haze was a trend, but it stuck around. People are hopping on the seltzer. They think it might be a trend, but
it's the only one way to find out.
It'll be here to stay.
Only one way to find out.
And it's kind of interesting because I think a lot of other breweries are going to the light, really light beer option to kind of not combat it necessarily, but to give some kind of option that's like the seltzer. You guys are actually doing a seltzer. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we've got pretty big beers, multiple double ABV. Double-digit ABV beers, and we just reworked one of our Helles Lager, Copperhead Gold, and it's 4.5%. So
that's how you hydrate.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's the way to go.
And then tell people again how they can get tickets for Friday, and tell them where you're located for people in Conroe who have not been there.
Eventbrite.com or the Facebook page Copperhead Brewery.
And the brewery location is 822 North Fraser in Conroe.
All right. Well, Brad, Matt, appreciate you guys coming in.
Thank you. Appreciate you
bringing some tasty brews, and good luck with the seltzer life.
Absolutely. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
All right. And if you're up north, go check them out, guys.
Definitely worth a stop, I'm telling
you. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. This is good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I got to tell you. Okay. And if you're in the Conroe area, go check them out. And love spotlighting these local breweries. And a couple people. Robert Paulson, the long snapper, says, in Conroe, never been. What's their highest ABV beer? Deep snapping ain't easy. I think this Black Venom's 11.5. I don't know exactly.
Well, the beer that we're drinking right now, that BA King of Terrors, is it's higher than 11.
Yeah.
I'll pull it up exactly, but it's up there.
But this was last year's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said that was the last one he had. And
16.8.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's almost getting into Avery territory there.
That'll put hair on your chest.
And then Gustavo, our buddy, thanking us for putting a spotlight on great local breweries. I love doing that. Not just because they bring us beer, but because they said they've been there 5 years. And when I met Matt, it's like I'd heard of them and I had some of their beers while I was at Secret Group. But I didn't realize they'd been around for 5 years, because I don't get to Conroe much. But they're, you know, we like to let people know where these places are because we're not all in the same neighborhoods.
Nope.
And if you live up there and you're looking for a good brewery to go check out, and plus they do stouts really well, which is right up my alley.
Right.
So happy to have them on, and I like doing stuff like that. So, you know, love our local breweries, and it's funny because. The whole saturation thing. Had a long conversation with the True Anomaly guys about that yesterday, and you know it's interesting that we've gotten to this point as fast as we have, but we're still behind a lot of cities in terms of numbers, as big as Houston is. I mean,
yeah.
But I you know my hope is that you're right. We get better beer, and right now we're getting a lot of really good beer. So. Go and check those guys out if you're up in Conroe. How's your bet going here?
Well, Minnesota took off, so we're in good shape there. This one, I've got Oklahoma State -6, and it's tied right now. So it's early yet, as they say. I'm not worried about this one yet.
And Anthony said, I missed the last segment. What's the name of the brewery? I live in Spring. It's Copperhead.
Copperhead.
Yeah, which is a very cool name.
Yep.
And... yeah, so go check it out if you're out. I know AJ's been there. I'm definitely going to make a trip up there at some point. It'll have to be on a weekend because, you know, I'm not getting to Conroe very often otherwise.
Yeah.
But I need to make a run to Huntsville here at some point, and that's a pretty good stopping point.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Aaron, what do you think there?
I love it.
Yeah? That's a good beer, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to beat that chocolate mint one.
So, you know, this is one of the perks of your job. You know, you got great barbecue today from Cobos Q. You got great beer today. You know, you would think you'd do a better job.
You would think. I got to spend time talking to them at the Galveston Brewfest last year.
Oh, yeah?
And sampled a lot of their stuff. That was really good stuff.
Yeah, and it's funny how sometimes these things happen because I just went to see Barry perform. And wound up sitting here talking to Matt for about an hour about brewing and their beer and everything. And I love talking to a lot of these guys because I learned so much just because, you know, how their approach and you know, what their marketing plan is and stuff like that. So I really enjoy that. And, and we just hit it off and said, hey, you know what? Come on in. And yep. I like that they're doing the seltzer. It's going to be called Crave, right?
Yeah, yeah. The seltzer.
Yeah. So that's... It's funny because, yeah, I know there's a lot of breweries now doing those really light beers for, you know, workout people and things like that, because the seltzer market is kind of taking off a little bit. So it's kind of cool that they're going to actually do a seltzer. So we've got a couple for your wife to try there.
Yes, sir.
So should be good. All right, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Boy, you know what the number one question we've gotten today is how teams playing without people in the stands is going to affect point spreads. And I
don't think it will. I mean, spreads especially, but totals maybe.
Well, and that's the thing. Maybe it'll affect the totals.
I don't even think it affects that, though.
But, yeah, I mean, guys are used to shooting without fans in the stands. They practice every day without them. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. And I mean, I think the only time that it might come into play in the tournament is if you've got, like, a real low seed that is actually in the game late. That's when the fans get behind them, even if it's not their team. And so, but
there's, in a way, there's a little bit of a, you lose a little bit of home field advantage or home court advantage for these teams that have basically earned the right to play their games in their region. You know, like Kansas's first round or their pod is in Omaha. You know, Baylor, their Sweet 16 is probably going to be here. You know, Gonzaga is going to play their first round games in Spokane. So you probably lose a little bit of an edge with that, but what you lose with that, you also gain with not having to travel. So I don't think it's all that impactful, honestly.
Well,
there's only one way to find out.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And what you will do, or at least what AJ will do, is you'll adjust. If you do see that scores are way up or scores are way down, you know, the first few games of that, or even in conference tournaments, then Vegas will adjust and, you know, the bettors will adjust. So was that good for you?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
We're cheering for the
the guys white in white. All right. 713-780-ESPN. Let's squeeze in one more call before we get to the last segment of the show. Tyler, go.
Sports fellas. Hey, I just wanted to ask real quick. I know some of these conferences are canceling the tournaments, and a couple of them are taking away the spectators. But Harvard probably got the raw end of the deal in the Ivy League tournament. I know nobody really watches Ivy League basketball unless you're a gambler. Is there anybody else that you can think of, AJ, that it might be on the wrong side of this conference play thing, or anybody that might, you know, miss riding the momentum into the tournament? Because that's what it's about, man. You always get those guys that catch those late breaks. But ready for March Madness, even if it's not going to have, you know, anybody in the stands, lay some money down. Hopefully we win some. Y'all take it easy, guys.
Well, the only other team that didn't get a shot at the conference tournament, and it's because they chose not to, is Chicago State, who was like literally the worst team in D1. So I don't think they were going to go out and win the WAC tournament, but technically they could have. But Harvard owns Yale. I mean, it's tough to find years where in recent history where Yale's gotten the best of Harvard. Even when Yale's got a better team, Harvard tends to give them fits. So he's right. Harvard is the one team who, and you can make an argument for Princeton and Penn in a four-team tournament. Anybody can get hot for two games in a row,
right?
But Harvard was clearly the next best team in that conference, and the team that they probably would have been favored by Vegas to win the tournament. So them not getting a shot at it, that stings them. But everybody else is getting a chance to play, and that's what you want, whether they're playing in front of a crowd or not. They're getting a chance to play. So the only thing that sucks is the Ivy League not having their tournament. I think that's a big bummer, but that's how it always was in the Ivy League before. They've only been doing that conference tournament for like the last couple years. So, but these guys did deserve a chance to play for it because that's what they were told they were working for.
Yeah, and you know what else I'm kind of interested in? And I know you're still going and you're doing your thing, but like the first week of the tournament is one of the best events in Vegas. I wonder how much it's going to be affected by all this.
I can't imagine it will be much because especially now that if you were planning on traveling to a game or something,
maybe you go to Vegas instead.
I mean, where else would you go? If you were planning on traveling to a game, you budgeted to travel to watch your team play, and now you can't, but you've already got that week off, what are you going to do? Not much better things to do than go to Vegas, right?
No, and right now the flights are really cheap.
Super cheap.
Yeah, so it's not a bad plan. Some of us will be here. All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about my good friends over at TGS. If you own your home and you could use a few extra bucks, I'm guessing you could, and you don't know what you're paying for your homeowner's insurance, A, you need to find out. I'll be honest, I didn't know how much I was paying. And then I checked it out. I sent a text to TGS, and I realized, dude, I'm paying too much. That's money that could be back in my pocket. The average customer in 2019 saved $870 on homeowner's insurance. I saved more than that. And it's so simple. You don't have to talk to an agent. You just text the word money to 232323. They ask for your address. You send that back. They send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. Just like that. Boom. And you don't even need to wait for your renewal. TGS takes care of all the back end, all the hassle, all the headache. So you don't have to deal with it. You just sit back and count that cash. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving big today with TGS Insurance.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One final segment to go. A little programming note for tomorrow. Short show out at 5:30 for Aggie basketball. And if Aggie wins tomorrow, we'll also be out at 5:30 for Aggie basketball on Friday. So,
Aggie basketball versus Mizzou tomorrow.
Yep.
Potentially versus Auburn on Friday.
So, you know, I'd be okay if they went ahead and won tomorrow because I'd like to see them win a game or two in the tournament. All right, let's wrap it up the way we do every Wednesday with some deaths. And we start off in 1963, country singer Patsy Cline. She fell to pieces, died in a plane crash at the age of 30.
Damn, imagine being named Patsy and you only lived to 30.
Yeah.
That's like an old lady name, and she never even got to be an old lady.
And she kind of sounded like an old lady the way she sang.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just because all her songs are from the 60s, so they sound
and
old.
And all her pictures are in black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
Is she even the 60s? I would have thought she was...
Well, she'd been late 50s, because she died in 63, so before I was even born.
Damn.
Which is a long time ago. 1999, Stanley Kubrick, dead at the age of 70. He did 2001 Space Odyssey, but more importantly, A Clockwork Orange.
Boy, he's responsible for some of the most, like, my favorite movies growing up. Not fully responsible for all of them, but A Clockwork Orange, Full Metal Jacket, and The Shining.
Yeah.
All movies he had his hands on. And those three films are, like, amongst my favorite ever. I think he was great.
And just to show you how well A Clockwork Orange actually worked, every time I hear Singing in the Rain, I want to kick an old man. I do. I'm singing in the rain, thunk. You know, the whole thing was about conditioning, right? And now I'm totally conditioned when I hear that song. George Burns in 1996 made it to 100. I remember him mostly from Oh God with John Denver. Andy Gibb of the Bee Gees,
also dead, by the way.
Dead at 30 in 1988. Not a good run.
Of the Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees.
Yeah.
Yes.
You said of the Bee Gees.
I did not say the Bee Gees, did I?
Yeah.
No, whichever.
It's all right. I'm just trying to let people know Andy Gibb's not that way.
Yeah, I think he is that way. I think I got it right, frankly. Corey Haim, dead of pneumonia at 38 in 2010. I never know which one died, Corey Haim or Corey Feldman. So one's dead and one's kind
of a
mess.
Corey Haim is dead.
Well, I know that now because I'm looking at it. But if you asked me which one of them died before I looked at the deaths, I would have just known it was one of the Lost Boys.
Yeah.
It was Haim or Feldman, and one of them's still alive. 2006, Kirby Puckett, dead of a stroke at 45.
Is he the one that turns out wasn't really all that great of a guy?
I don't know, but he's also one of those that I think was 100% a steroid guy. Because he went from three homers to like 40 in 1 year.
I feel like there was some sort of accusation made against Kirby Puckett.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
I might be wrong. I don't want to besmirch the dead.
Oh, why not? He's dead. What's he going to do? 1987, Woody Hayes, who punched a player on the sideline, most famous for that, dead at 74.
He was accused of criminal sexual conduct. and fifth degree assault.
Okay.
Threatened to kill a woman.
Turd.
Groped a woman in a restaurant bathroom, held her there, and threatened to kill her.
Glad you're dead then.
That's not great.
No.
But then was found not guilty of those charges. So.
Well, maybe not.
Okay. So it was alleged.
Man, I think two of these belong in best deaths. I'm not questioning you, Aaron, but Joseph Stalin, dead at 73.
He was a D-bag.
He was a D-bag, but he's still one of the biggest names on here. And Nancy Reagan.
She was a D-bag.
Yeah, but she was hot. I would have, even when she was 94, which is what she died at. Pretty good run. Millard Fillmore, the 13th president of the United States. All I can ever remember is that Daffy Duck Mallard Fillmore thing. And 1930, William Howard Taft, 27th president. Wasn't he a great big fat person?
Was.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. And none of those look any good. Let's move on. Here's your best deaths. Well, it's Alamo week. So
yes.
Davy Crockett. King of the Wild Frontier. Killed at the Battle of the Alamo at 49.
If you grew up in Texas and you never owned a coonskin hat from the Alamo, did you really grow up in Texas?
And if you didn't know the Davy Crockett song, probably something wrong with you. James Bowie, 1836. If you didn't have a Bowie knife growing up, you're not a Texan. William Barrett Travis, also.
If you were never grounded and wrote a letter to your friends asking for your help, all Texans and Americans across the world, please come help me. I don't know if that really happened, but
yeah, well,
he did write a letter that, you know.
If you never drove down Travis Street downtown, you're not a Texan.
Yeah.
Okay. The guy who is number three in my philosopher all-time rankings, Aristotle.
The notorious B.I.G. Oh.
No, Aristotle.
Oh, okay.
We're in philosopher rankings, not.
Yeah. Biggie, a big-time philosopher.
Well. I assume
didn't
so.
Did you ever read Word Up magazine?
I did not, no.
Salt and Pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine?
No, not me. Joe DiMaggio, 1999. Harriet Tubman in 1913. Have you seen that movie?
Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio?
Our nation turns its lonely eyes to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went all up in Marilyn Monroe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Married her.
Yeah, but she was banging the president at the time.
Yep.
And,
he had a sex doll made that's supposed to look like her.
That's creepy. All right, here's your dead porn stars. Lolo Ferrari, 2000, 37 years old. Dead from?
Car wreck.
Prescription overdose. 2006, 26-year-old Clarissa Dahl.
That sounds like a suicide.
Well, just suicide. Good enough. Ding, okay. Ding, ding. 2016, Bella Blaze, age 30.
30 sounds like suicide.
An accidental overdose, which, you know, technically could be a suicide, so I'll give you points for that. All right, that's going to wrap it up.
If you got a gun up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place. Because I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Baby.
Interesting. All right.
See notes by the Leias. True bleeping players. Right?
I'll take your word for it.
Your crew run. Your crew run.
All right. Good job today, boys.
Papa been smooth since days of Underoos.
Underoos, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I vaguely remember Underoos.
Ask you what your interests are, who you be with, try to make you smile, what numbers to dial.
Did he mention Garanimals, too?
No.
Oh, okay, just checking. All right.
I guess that's why they broke and you so paid.
Stay sports, you bitches. Your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken. You're so mean. ESPN 97.5.